Hey, we just want to give a big shout out to our friends at Big Pipe. Bigpipe.co.nz yep. For the website.
For the website, if you want to know. Or I'm sure they've got a drop-in store somewhere where you could go in. Hey, anyway, Big Pipe is so great. And did you know if you sign up for a 12-month contract, they'll just give you a free modem?
Just give it to you. They'll be like, take this off our hands.
They'll just, like, they'll just put it in the mail, send it out to you probably.
They're like, that's for you to keep.
Hold on to that.
Yeah.
As a memento to remember us by.
And also to use to make the internet work.
Thanks, Big Pipe.
We love you.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase. It's for me, okay.
Hello and welcome to the Male Gaze. Chris, you've been starting the episodes recently, but because we've swapped chairs.
Yeah, we usually sit, like, you wouldn't be able to tell this audience because you'd be listening to it. You don't have a visual reference.
You don't.
But Eli, in the podcast room, Eli would sit on the left-hand side of the room and I'd sit on the right-hand side.
Chris is always door side, which is what, I've been talking about this recently with my boyfriend, which is like, in your own bed, if it's your room, right?
Yes.
Do you claim the side closer to the door?
No.
Really?
No.
Wow.
I'm against the wall.
I always go door side. Like, I go door side at my house.
Because I don't want to protect my man.
No, I think it's like if there was an earthquake.
I want to be the first out of
the first out of the room.
I remember my good friends got married. As part of their wedding invitation.
Chris is welling up right now. Remembering it.
It was the most beautiful day of my life. No, it was my first same-sex marriage.
Yes.
That I went to. Anyway, as part of their like send out for the wedding, they had like a quiz about their relationship. It was really fun.
How well did you do?
Not great. I think it was there mainly for novelty. Like, there wasn't like a hard quiz. But
wouldn't it be good if you got like too little? Like, if you get below 40%, you can't come.
You're not allowed to come to the wedding. Or you can't come to the reception. You can only come to the service.
Yes.
Because we all know if you get that invitation, it means you're like not a good friend. You know, like, you can come to the ceremony. We're trying to keep the numbers down for the reception.
It's like, we think you want to see this, but we don't want
you
to.
But we also don't
want to
pay for your food.
Yeah.
Go get your own food, bitch. Anyway, their quiz was like, what side of the bed does Kip and... Oh, I just see their names. Todd, sleep on.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a trick question.
Chris just outed them. Those married gays weren't out until now.
Oh, my God. Sorry, guys. It was a trick question, and they swap regularly.
Really?
Well, that's to keep the relationship fresh. And I was like, shut the fuck up.
We get it. It's working.
We get it. You've married each other. It's worked.
Anyway, tweet us if you think we sound different because we're in different seats. That's the main thing.
Eli, I think we should swap the chairs. Well, this is what I said. I said, when Tim the producer and I were just chilling in here before you got here, I'm usually in your chair because I'm late.
Yes.
And we were both late, but I was less late than you were late.
I was more late. I blame it on the traffic.
I was in that same traffic burn. I arrived 30 seconds before you did.
We do have Tim, our old producer here, not our new favourite producer, Patty. So tweet us if we sound different because we're not as horned up.
We're not flirting as much.
Should we start with the fact of the gay? It's an alarming one.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners already know about this. It was so interesting. I woke up this morning. I'm in Nelson doing I was doing a show. Yeah. And one of the actors, like, we stayed at Airbnb. There was a continental breakfast. It's just the strangest setup.
At a continental breakfast in Airbnb?
At a B&B. Lodge. Yeah. It was called a manor. This place was a manor.
Lovely.
Filled with terrible rug art.
Yeah.
But one was like girl on girl, which was kind of like, I was like, I appreciate this. Because it's controversial, you know, for some people it's controversial, especially in Nelson, you know. I'm like, they're pushing boundaries here.
That's the first girl to kiss a girl in Nelson, is the girl on that rug.
On a wall.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was like, did you hear the news? And I was like, oh, fuck. And he's like, it's Trump. And I was like, I know this is bad.
Yeah.
And I know this is something to do with the LGBT community because he brought it up with me.
Yeah. You'll want to know about this.
Yeah. Have you heard?
Have you heard the news?
Let me guess. Did it come to you good?
By Rainbow Mail this morning?
And then I was like, I'll just go onto Twitter. And then like basically every second tweet was about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, my Twitter's so gay.
Yeah. My Instagram was particularly, it was like every gram was just a picture of the words trans rights or human rights.
Yes.
Or something similar.
Basically, Trump, for those who don't know, Trump sent out a series of tweets last night, this morning.
I don't know what time it is in the US. It was like 4 a.m. our time.
In my mind, he's always like, he's had a meeting and they've been like, now, Trump, remember, don't tweet anything.
Don't tweet this out.
Just keep it quiet.
We're just talking about it.
We'll iron it out.
We're considering this idea.
It's a brainstorm. But just mainly don't tell anyone. He's like, okay. And then he's like, leaves the room. He's like, I'm going to tweet that.
What's crazy about this particular tweet as well? So he did it over like a series of three tweets, but it starts.
It's a thread. This thread. Imagine if it's like.
Thread. Quote tweet.
Important thread. Please read.
What I hate is that he starts it with, please be advised, colon. Yes. As if. The everyone is his employees.
Yeah, it did feel like that. It's like a new direction for the company.
Yeah, please be advised, the microwave is no longer working. So
and the dishwasher doesn't empty itself. But he said, our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. Terrible. I mean...
Gross.
I just, the word...
Don't call people a burden.
The only person who's called me a burden is my mother.
What, in what way?
Because I don't drive.
She's
like, you're a real burden. And I was like, you know what? Fair enough. But the people who have volunteered their services for the military to save your effing dumb country, they're not a burden.
I like how you really emphasize the C word within country, which is going to tie into the later theme of this episode. Hint. It's Shakespeare. We'll get to that later.
But here's the fact.
The hint was what the theme is.
The theme is we're doing Shakespeare as the theme for this week. Anyway, more on that to come. Here's the actual fact, though. That was just the news. That was like a, breaking news. Anyway, so I was like, I started looking into it, and then like lots of people kind of tweeting their like great angles on it, which is that's what Twitter's for, you know, just get the wide scope of it all.
Yeah.
And here's something that I thought I really enjoyed reading about. The military spends 5 times as much on Viagra as it would on transgender troops' medical care.
That's
5 times.
It's like tens of millions of dollars on Viagra, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the costs here. Where was it? The implication is that even in the most extreme scenario... Oh, no, wait. Where was it? No, not like that. God, I'm reading this off the Washington Post. The cost of providing down. Oh no, it must have been there. Okay.
This is the best bit. This is the bit people are going to skip back and be like, oh, I think I missed that.
I loved the bit where Chris rambled and scrolled on his phone. What's scary is that that's the noise in my head when I'm like, when I'm on my phone. It's like, oh no, it's not there. Up there. Down. Oh no, wait, oh shit, where am I now? How do I get there? Oh, stupid. The implication is that even the most extreme scenario that we'd be able to identify would only expect 0.13%, 8.4 million out of 6.2 billion. That's suspense. Oh, here we go. The military spends 41.6 million annually on Viagra alone, according to the Military Times analyst.
That is a stop. Analysis. How many boner
the
pills
is that?
The
Military Times? Lots. Ooh. I like the Military Times.
I liked how you read that. Like, this is, imagine a whole podcast narrated in the style of like, you reading an article, which is like, the military said that, like skimming through.
Hi, I'm Chris Parker, and welcome to 3 News. Okay, so, I haven't fully got, but anyway, okay, so, 4.16 million, and that's a little bit of trace, and so,
I'm not totally on top of this one.
Okay, basically, it's not good. That's basically what I'm trying to say. Okay, and that was your news tonight.
What? I don't know. I just watched that whole show. I don't know any of the news.
Did you hear the news? No.
Anyway, how?
So many boner pills.
And why?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know. Well, for erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, totally.
So that's the problem. And I guess even like military families, because that was also part of that, costs for transgender medication.
Yes.
That's also inclusive of military families, I believe. So, yeah. People who've enrolled in the military forces who've got kids who are also transitioning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think.
Okay.
Ugh. But I can never be sure. And someone will definitely know who's listening and will correct us, and please do, always.
Tweet us in, say us if in, we sounded different
say,
this time.
You're a big dumbass.
I did read a beautiful thread this morning. If you wanna read it, go to my Twitter. It's about a trans man called Eli who flies in the Air Force. He's done amazing things.
Oh god, I thought you were talking about yourself.
No, it's not. There's other people in the world called Eli, and one of them is an amazing transgender pilot, I believe, that I read this beautiful thread about this morning. Loves defending his country. Has done so much for it, really good at what he does, and suddenly, like, that whole lifestyle's gone. And he enlisted as well, so I think he's only been transitioning for, like, 10 months. He's been on hormones for 10 months.
Bloody hell.
And he enlisted when Trump was going to be elected, and he knew at the time, he was like, that he was signing up to potentially be kicked out just because of the way the country was going, but
yeah.
He still did it because he cares about his country that much.
Oh,
make America great again. Whatever.
What a load.
What
of shit.
What an absolute crock of shit. 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 Shit.
It's always interesting though, because it does make me. I was like, if we do feel distant, it's all like America, America, America. And it's like a good reminder to kind of look in a little bit as well as to how things are operating over here, which it sort of inspired me to. I'm like, well, what is the deal over here in New Zealand when it comes to, enrolling into the army and.
True.
And rights for, transgender and queer workers and people, it's. I need to know more, I guess.
Well, you should look that up.
I will look it up. But it did. Yeah. It does.
Hold up. I just got a story right now. Apparently, the deal with the bus in the
fuck you.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Our military is.
Basically, that's what the podcast is for: is to get educated, every day and learn more and more. And there's endless facts and. Things to know.
There's only more knowledge to find.
I guess it's like keep your curiosity open and keep trying to learn rather than.
Yeah.
But I was like, all this aggressive angst inside of me reading these tweets this morning.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I just want to sort of start making steps forward.
Yeah.
And I feel like. I donated money to the ACLU. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that, Chris.
Whew. But then I was like, what can I do here in New Zealand as well?
Yeah, true.
I often do little every now and then donations to Rainbow Youth and stuff. But it's like, is there something more direct? Is what I was trying to figure out.
Yeah.
But I will figure that out, and then I'll let you know, listeners.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Or let me know. Just message me on Twitter or something.
From Serious Knowledge, we now move on to a new regular segment called Queen of the Week.
Queen of the Week! She is, or he is, or thou, the Queen of the Week!
Beautiful use of all pronouns there.
And improvising the tune at the same time.
Yeah, that is a real... You are a master at work.
Consider me an old Mozart. Because he was a child prodigy.
How old was he?
He was 3 when he wrote Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Queen for the Day is 3-year-old Mozart. 3 years old and pumping out the bangers.
Pumping out those bangers. They're still being sung today.
Nah, we don't give a shit about Mozart. Wasn't he an asshole? I feel like probably he beat up his wife or something. Just
He was eccentric. Okay. And I probably sat on a spectrum when I've seen Amadeus, which I've seen multiple times. We studied it in music class, and then I've seen multiple productions of it.
Yeah, it's a popular one.
It's always we can't tie this kid down. He's too. He just wants to be on the harpsichord all the time. And I was like, yeah, well, it's an outlet for him.
Yeah,
let him be there.
Let him express himself.
But Salieri was anyway. I could get into it forever. I love Amadeus.
Never seen it.
Oh, you should watch it.
I will. But Mozart isn't our queen for the day.
Nope.
Maybe next week. But this week, it's Britney.
Bitch. Yay.
We've talked about her on the podcast
before. We love her a lot.
And we love her.
We adore Britney Spears.
Britney Spears has, I don't know if this is the new benchmark for the Queen of the Week segment, but
it should be.
The reason we're talking about it is
she went quiet on Instagram for a while.
Quiet, 2 weeks off. And everyone was like, where is she?
She's going to be on RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
But no, you know how all those queens are going to go quiet when they're going to be on that. But no, she was quietly working away at a little perfumery.
She was
smelling the roses. Smelling
no, it's not quite me. It's not quite.
Can it be sweeter?
Yeah.
Sweeter still. I want it to smell like sugar.
I don't think you get this. This is my 22nd scent and it needs to be perfect.
There's a lot of pressure riding on my 22nd scent and it needs to be flawless.
I've had 21 electric perfumes which have made ladies feel confident, fun.
And sexy.
Yeah. And I can't screw this up.
You do not know what. Like, it needs to. I need to knock Paris.
Off the top. I need to knock her off the top. I'm Britney Jean Spears, bitch.
Is her middle name Jean?
Yes. That's why one of the albums is called Britney Jean.
Oh, she should have launched a line of jeans called Britney Jean.
Well, she should. Or apparently, hipster, like low slung jeans are coming back. So maybe
that.
She should.
Because I was very worried. Paris Hilton actually tweeted about it, being like, I love it. I love this. I've done so many iconic looks and hipster jeans. And then I sort of announced it to our at our office, and all the women in the office went, No. But that's very like flattering. And well, the main thing was they're very uncomfortable.
Yes. And they're just like, they let loose a part of your body, like literally the hardest part of your body to eliminate fat from.
Right. I like my jeans to be like up to my neck. Like I want them as high as I can get.
I want my arms in there.
Yeah, if I can.
Shoulders inside.
Anyway, Britney Spears, like she's just our queen for the week. She's just incredible. What an amazing role model for humanity.
For people who can't really sing.
For people who don't have a talent. But give the allure that they do.
That video, since the last time that we've spoken about her on this podcast, she released a video of her singing Happy Birthday to one of her crew members, and it is.
And everyone's like, oh my God, Britney Spears has released this clip.
She's singing live.
She's singing live, which she never does, and she's singing Happy Birthday, and it's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
Happy birthday. She's like so many runs.
Happy birthday to you. That's how she does it, I reckon. It's
this is Michael, everybody. He's my makeup artist.
Like, don't hold on the note too long so your voice is like cut out. She's just off, always off the note.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's released a new, the perfume is called VIP, Private Room.
Oh.
She's a private dancer.
It's a perfume
dances
to wear.
For fragrance. Plenty to a fragrance for you. I think the bottle looks gorgeous. It's sort of like a diamond shape. What do you think?
Oh, it's good.
By the look of it, what do you think it smells like? It's sort of pinky and sort of orangey looking.
I just think it smells like flower balm. You know, it smells like
everyone wants to try
every girl's first perfume.
Says, and she's just because this is Britney Spears Fragrances, her Instagram. Like she's got her own Instagram, which is a wonderful.
The best. It's the best Instagram.
Yeah, it's a wonderful like afternoons Instagram. You can just go through it all. She does lots of runway walks and all that kind of stuff. But this one says, indulgent, sexy, alluring. It's your hashtag VIP show. VIP show. I mean, it's sort of a gorgeous little bottle. I don't know. Maybe I'll buy it and have a wee sniff.
I like that.
I don't know what it smells like. Oh, look. There are notes of blood orange, succulent red apple, mango nectar, and raspberry wood.
Ooh.
The wood? Like, I guess I've never seen raspberries grow on trees.
They grow in a little bush, don't they?
A little raspberry bush.
I think raspberry wood would be like a different, just a wood that's got a fragrance that smells a little bit like raspberry.
In my mind, raspberry wood is like the twig that the raspberry's growing on. Hey, listen, if you guys know what raspberry wood is,
tweet
don't
us
tell
it.
Us. We don't care. No, we no, do that's care. True.
I can die without knowing that.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I was on my deathbed and someone was like, what is raspberry wood? I'd be like, I don't care. And then just drift off.
Yeah, it would make me feel more at peace because I'd be like, I don't need to know that.
Unless your coffin's made out of raspberry wood.
Even then.
As long as I've got a bottle of VIP Private Show with me in my arms, I want to be like doused in it. Someone's like, what's that gorgeous, alluring, sexy smell? And be like, that's the body.
He smells beautiful.
It's alluring.
He smells like a 14-year-old girl.
I think he smells like a VIP show.
Mm.
Which in my mind is like one-on-one.
It's
with
a lap
stripper.
Dance.
Yeah.
It's a lap dance.
Which is some people are into.
Yeah.
For me, I can't. Like, I don't want to see any kind of performance one-on-one, whether that be mime, poetry, stripping.
Yeah.
Like, the engagement is too intense for me.
Yeah, I can never do that. You know, when there's, like, fringe festivals, and yes. It's like, they've built a box, and there's a show, and only two people can go at a time. I'm like, that's
a one-man Shakespeare segue, baby.
Oh, my.
I was like, how are we going to get here?
Goodness.
And then I just found it.
It was too easy.
So the theme of this week's... we finally got there. The theme of this week's podcast is Shakespeare.
Were you paying attention to the hints?
Oh, yeah. There were some subtle hints earlier on in this episode.
The theme of Shakespeare. Because...
Or should I say Shakespeare? Or should I say... I've got no more. Shaken, not stirred, spare.
Should I say Shakespeare? Shake skin.
Shake, spare me. An explanation. Oh.
Turn up and does a spare. Have you got any Shakespeare change?
No Fear Shakespeare, obviously, is the classic.
Is that the books where they give you little notes on the side?
I was more modern. I used the website.
Wow.
But you'd be like, your teacher would be like, you got to read The Merchant of Venice. She was a horrible woman. And I'd be like, do you know what I'm going to do? No Fear Shakespeare. I'd be like, no fear, madame.
It's going to be you before you die in your coffin. You got to read The Merchant of Venice. quick, bring it over. So the reason that we're talking about Shakespeare in the news this week, artistic director of the Royal New Zealand... The Royal Shakespeare Company.
Oh, RAC?
Oh, gosh. And he's got a name, and I have an article about it, but it's gone.
I bet it's like Thorny Side.
Oh, I came up with a drag name on the car on the way here.
Shoot.
I always pitch these to you and you always hate all of them. So this time I'm really...
I'll hide my face because usually that's the giveaway.
Okay. I don't know if you'll get these references. The name is...
Yeah.
Ashley Billy Madison.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't get it.
So the website Ashley Madison was the website that people used to use to set up affairs, and Billy Madison is an Adam Sandler movie. So it's Ashley Billy Madison. Nah, yeah, cool. Okay, so the artistic director of the Royal Shakespeare Company. Oh, a little bit of laughter, a little bit of heartbreak.
Whatever his bloody name is.
He's come out this week in strong support of Shakespeare's gay characters. He's telling other directors of Shakespeare around the world that it's time to stop. You've got to stop making Shakespeare's queer characters non-queer. You need to embrace them instead of trying to kind of sweep the little gay things under the rug, because there are characters in Shakespeare's plays who are deaf gay. In fact, maybe Shakespeare was gay. In fact,
I thought you could say deaf. Like they couldn't
deaf and gay.
They're deaf and they're gay.
40% of all of Shakespeare's characters are
can't
deaf
hear that
and gay.
Well.
None of them can hear each other. That's why they're talking so weird.
They're so loud.
Yeah.
It's because they're on stage.
It's projection.
We laugh. It's projection. We're both actors, so we know this.
We've trained.
We've talked about this in the podcast before. We both played Puck.
Yeah.
In the same year, in the same Shakespeare... Oh, no. I was in the Shakespeare competitions.
I was in the Shakespeare... Young Shakespeare Company.
Oh, sorry. It was the rep, wasn't it? Or was it an actual...
Was it brand new? No, it was the second show they'd done. Canterbury Young Shakespeare Company.
How are they going on now?
Don't exist. I did one of them. Well, the first one I did was The Winter's Tale in the lead role of Poseidonis or whatever his name. I can't remember who the lead role.
Poseidon.
Poseidon was Jordan Major, aka the
Bachelor
from season
the
two
least
of The Bachelor.
Favorite Bachelor.
The Bachelor that everyone's like, what? If you're an international listener who doesn't know about our Bachelor, he dumped the girl 2 days after the final.
Yeah, man. I was just like, I was really feeling for him.
And yeah. It
kind of reminded me a little bit of like when I was in the closet and I found myself in a relationship again, and I was like, oh, this is a relationship I don't know if I want to be in now, you know? And then being like, this feels awful.
Yeah, imagine if you...
There's a lot of pressure because everyone's like, Chris is in another relationship with a woman. I'm like, yeah, I can do this. And then there's like all eyes on the relationship.
Yeah.
So I was really relating to it.
It was like, you've told us you can do this.
So do it. Not for long.
Imagine if you ended up as the Bachelor while you were still in the closet. And you were like, oh no, That's a good movie.
It is a good movie. We've got to delete that.
Suck that up. Don't make that movie.
Whoever.
Michael Bay, if you're listening, do not make
Steven
that film.
Steven Spielberg, if you're listening.
Sofia Coppola, you cannot make that.
You cannot make that. Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan, get your hands off
he
our
does,
ideas.
He does everything. He does like Dunkirk. He does Batman. What a talent. I keep thinking about him.
You love Dunkirk, eh? I wouldn't say that he does. I would say he does a lot of good movies that are all pretty similar.
Really?
Well, I mean, there's some in space. There's one about Batman.
Where's Batman on bloody...
There's one about magicians.
They bloody needed Batman and Dunkirk.
Yeah, he could have helped out, eh?
Got his rocket ship and flying them all out of there.
You're right. In World War II, what they needed was Batman.
Shit, that would have been cool, eh?
No.
We don't have any more boats. Do you need a hand? Do you need a batwing? I can help. I've beaten the Joker, and now I will defeat Germany. Look forward to that film.
So Shakespeare's characters, some of them were gay. Oh, here's a fact, indicating that maybe Shakespeare might have been gay. 126 of his 150 something sonnets were delivered to men.
Ooh.
In the woods. Shall I compare to a summer's day? It's about a man.
And is it like the way that people have twisted it has been like it's a woman writing to a man.
Yeah,
like,
I think so. It's like Blurg. Nah, they were all from him, from his heart.
He was just like flaunting about ages. I mean, everyone kind of was in those days. It's just like we're all poor artists. Let's all just like
let's dress up as women and put on a fucking play.
Women aren't allowed on stage though.
Woman, you can't come on stage.
So he's kind of awesome and kind of the worst as well. He's like one of those gay men that's like a bit sexist.
Yeah, that only hangs out with men.
Yeah. You see him in like Ponsonby walking around with this like sort of gay squad, and then he's the kind of guy who's like at like inappropriately touch women and feel like that's okay because he's gay, and you're like, no, you can't do that.
You can't just squeeze a boobs.
What are these?
Yeah. And his Christmas photo is like a photo with my family, and it's like 18 guys in tank tops.
Yes. So the king's company.
Yeah.
They were all boning each other. Right? They're like after a show, like great show, everyone. And then there's like to my dressing room, and then take off your rapiers, and they'd like all throw off their rapiers.
I think they're gonna leave on some of the costumes.
I reckon,
yeah.
If especially the ones who are sort of enjoying the dresses and all, and the you know, and all that. Or Puck. Puck would be like. I wonder what the original Puck. I mean, everyone has an angle on Puck.
Yeah, like, I was dressed as a New Zealand.
You look like an acorn.
An acorn. Yeah. We were all dressed as native New Zealand plants, and mine was kind of acornish.
I was like, if this thing lives in the bush, it's wild. And so I had like shit on my teeth and like leaves in my hair.
You didn't have to put real shit either, but
I wanted to eat a shit. I want to know what it tastes like, and this show was the perfect opportunity. And
just
excuse.
Like Shakespeare used his show.
I'm gonna eat
window.
A shit. No, Chris, you don't need to eat one. No. I think I should eat a shit to play Puck. Honestly, Chris, you could do anything else.
I'm going method, but Puck
didn't eat shit. There's no reference in the script of Puck eating shit. I'm doing it. I've eaten it already.
It was disgusting. Let's do it. We're on in five. Go.
We can't act with him because your breath smells like shit.
Use it.
Just make it part
just
of it.
Just use it out there.
Like, what if I was on shit?
Oh my God. Don't you hate... Okay, in your experience as an actor, do you hate it when like people
I
who
love
you're on
that
stage
question,
with?
By the way.
As an actor, no, when this is about people who are acting too much, when people like you're on stage with someone and they're playing a character, but then they like whisper to you, but they whisper like in character, like they lean into your ear and be like, "I love you." And you're like,
"Okay, that doesn't happen to me."
It's happened to me a few
times. Oh, that's awful.
That's why I don't act anymore.
One time I worked with an actress in a show I was playing. We were like boyfriend and girlfriend, and she was like, "I don't want to tell you anything about me because I want you to just like fall in love with me," and I was like, okay, she was like she had like a kid and all this kind of stuff, and I was like, this is too much. She wouldn't tell me her age because she thought it'd like get in the way of me like falling in love with her, and I was like, listen, there's a lot of other things in the way to me falling in love with you. Specifically, you're not a man.
Yeah,
that would be the that's the main one.
Okay, I've got a fucked up story for you.
Let's just get fucked up and gossipy. So, shit, I love gossip. Okay, go.
When I did Trainspotting at university, so it was directed by a guy, and his sister was also in it. He was playing the leading role. His sister was in it. He was directing it.
This is getting real fucked up.
Very weird. And Trainspotting the play, if you haven't seen it or read the book, it's more like short stories rather than one linear narrative. Ooh. So it's kind of like a bunch of shortly assembled scenes. There was one short scene at the front where it kind of like wasn't totally explicitly said, because everyone played lots of characters. She was kind of, his sister was like sort of playing his girlfriend for one scene.
Ooh,
or like a one night stand.
If I was doing a show with my sister, I'd like just avoid that at all costs. You know, yeah. Like even if it was like, oh, we're all swapping characters, so maybe you'll have to play his girlfriend. I'd be like, no. Yeah. Just any other solution.
I remember some of our friends were on a theatre sports team where there was a brother and sister on a team, and I was like, well, that's limiting.
Yes, tricky.
Okay, the podcast stopped recording, so we're going to try and twice. We've done this.
This is Back to the Future, or like this
Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day. We know what's happening, but no one else knows what's happening.
Also, like, I don't want to like point names, but this has never happened when Hot Patty has been here. It's always so been. This has been when producer Tim. Frumpy Tim. No, Tim's a cutie.
Tim's cute.
Anyway,
kind of a geek chic. Do you remember we used to use the term geek chic?
That's the worst.
And also metrosexual.
Metrosexual.
We can talk about. Should we
do a whole episode of metrosexual?
Okay, let's bank that.
Bank that.
Can we write metrosexual on the mood board?
Planning team, scheduling team, come over here.
This is like just a bunch of young twinks,
young interns from the broadcasting school.
We've got an idea. Metrosexual. Brainstorm.
To finish that story, I have one romantic scene with the director's sister, and we had to do an intimacy workshop. We had to stroke her face for hours.
And the director, the brother. Watched?
Coached us.
He's like,
and we had to like
touch her more gently.
Yes, we had to do gentle touching, and then we also had to do like grinding.
Whoa!
University theater is wild.
Well, this play that I did, where I was playing a straight man.
Yes,
I also had to do lots of pashing, and in fact, I did a whole. We did an intimacy workshop, and we did a whole day where we just kissed each other, and the director was like, "Just more kissing." And it was pretty bad. I feel like he was, I think the main thing he was trying to do was like crack me and make me seem more straight.
Yeah.
And the solution to that was actually just putting me in a hoodie.
And we're repeating an exact gag we did, but Chris is in a hoodie today and he looks mask as hell. And when he came here, I was like, don't come in here. This is where we're recording a gay podcast, so.
I think I can be straight. Every time, this goes back to Shakespeare, actually. Every time I, like, play straight characters. I only really play gay characters now. Like, when Hudson Halls, this show I do all the time, I'm the gayest man in the world.
Yeah.
Basically,
it's beautiful.
Campery camp. But I have done stuff at drama school where they were like trying to make me straight. And it used to make my eyes roll in the back of my head. I was like, I don't want to be that.
Yeah.
So why are you doing this to me? But then I got that classic thing where you get cast in as Malvolio.
Oh, I did Malvolio too.
Every gay actor has played Malvolio once, either as like a workshop, a drama exercise, whatever.
Okay, so
like, oh, and Eli Malvolio. You're like, well, there's no surprises there.
When I had to do Malvolio as well, she was like, the things Elizabeth Hawthorne was directing it, and I had to like scan my nails a lot. I had to look at my beautiful fineries that I was wearing. That was like my character trait, was just like examining like my pocket watch and stuff, and like my beautiful cane. And
mine was like, repress all your homosexuality and just be angry and like lash out on other people.
Yeah,
I feel like he's bitter. He's a bitter gay, you know, Malvolio. I feel like maybe he was at, you know, like he was in the closet for a long time and maybe came out in his like 40s and it's just like made him angry.
Yeah, he's a grumpy because he missed out on like fun going to Fire Island.
So he just goes,
he missed out on going to Fire Island.
He was like, he was hot and young once and he sort of lost track with his body and stuff and he's just not feeling as confident anymore and he's taking out on other people.
How lame is it in Twelfth Night that they do this like big prank on him and the outcome of the prank is that he puts on silly yellow socks?
And some garters. I'm like, it's a good look.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, like the obvious one would be like run through a park naked.
Yeah. So everyone in run through a park naked. Like a sort of, if you really love me, you're gonna run through a park
like
naked.
A frat prank, right?
Would you do that? If your boyfriend was like, if you really love me, on my birthday, will you please run through?
I hate nudity. Like, I'm just really shy about that kind of stuff, weirdly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never getting my butt out, really. I got it out in a show once.
What show?
It was a comedy show with a good friend of mine, Hayley.
Oh, okay.
And she pulled my pants a little bit, and you saw a little bit of my butt.
Can you put that on again? I'd love to see that.
You just want to see my butt? I can show you it, too, if you like.
Oh, Nah, he didn't show it to me.
Oh, now Eli's showing me his butt. Oh, Eli, get your butt out of my face.
Oh, no!
The power of... We're basically doing a radio play now. Oh, the power of audio entertainment.
I walked across the stony ground.
Oh, then I saw a horse. Oh. Oh man, that horse really got away on me. There it is. I'm so bad at
Very good.
Do you reckon?
I loved that.
I think I'm so bad at Foley.
I loved that.
Foley.
Foley.
That's a word from the biz, y'all.
Can we get one of our interns over here to do some Foley?
Foley. So more. Okay, so let's talk about the
Clementine.
Gayest. Let's talk about the gayest Shakespeare plays.
Okay, 12th
and
night.
Also talk about Shakespeare in Love at some point.
All right, I love Shakespeare in Love.
Shakespeare.
That's what my drag character will do.
What? The play? The movie?
No, the scene where she gets her straps taken off her, and then underneath I'll have it. Oh, fuck off. Fuck
your
you.
Drag sounds boring.
It is.
It's factual. what I'm trying to demonstrate with my drag is when women were allowed to be back on stage. That kind of like restoration theatre period.
But very important that I'm a man.
I'm a man
it.
Doing that narrative.
I'm a man showing women's liberation.
Oh my god, you're one of those gay feminists. And there's not many of those around the world.
No.
I can't remember what we've talked about that was in the first time we recorded this where the thing stopped working. And
what if we just repeat ourselves?
I know. It's not our fault.
I think what was cut out was we talked about Antonio and Merchant of Venice and how gay he is. But oh, and we missed out. We did talk about Portia de Rossi playing Portia in The Merchant of Venice. It was a great riff.
It was hilarious.
It's may rest in peace.
R.I.P. Let's move on. Let's talk about Romeo and Juliet.
Mercutio?
Yeah.
Gay.
Gay is gay. Gay is all can be. Especially in the...
Baz Luhrmann movie.
I was going to say Baz Luhrmann, but it's Baz Luhrmann.
Hi, my name's Baz Luhrmann.
Baz
Luhrmann. I'm a director.
And I'm going to do this cool Romeo and Juliet.
It's.
Did he have dreads?
No.
Oh, I saw a high school production where Mercutio had dreads.
I think I might have seen some on.
Discovery?
Oh, no. Okay. We did it at drama school. All the girls did it. All the boys did Titus, and all the girls did Romeo and Juliet, and the Mercutio in it. My friend Amanda, she had dreads.
Oh.
Yeah.
I feel like dreads are a good vibe on Mercutio.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know.
No.
It's culturally inappropriate now, right?
Well, the Mercutio could be of colour.
She wasn't.
Well, then it's bad. And the Mercutio I saw in dreads also was white, so that's also bad.
Okay, so you know another gay character?
Who?
Hermione. You know the one that pretends to be a statue for
Hermione
16
Granger,
years?
I knew it.
No, you don't know anything about Harry Potter. Hermione's the one in A Winter's Tale. I wonder if we talked about that. We talked about previously in maybe the cut-out version, I was in A Winter's Tale with Jordan Major, who was the second Bachelor in New Zealand. Anyway.
I don't know much about A Winter's Tale. All I know is it's got that line, pursued by a bear.
Yeah, which is so full on because there's not many stage directions in Shakespeare's plays. That's why it's so important because it's like, and there's no, the bear is never in the scene before then.
The amount of times I've exited being pursued by a bear.
You couldn't even finish that joke.
I hated it. But it was important to tell it.
It was really important that you told that story. It's really important.
It's so important.
That's all this podcast is for.
So what's Hermione's deal? Basically, be no fear Shakespeare for me.
So, Hermione
And how is this gay?
Hermione is married to Jordan Major, yes. Whatever the name of his character is. He's kind of the main role. He has a son, a young son, who I think dies, his young child. And then that sends him into a spiral of rage. He gets like so, so angry. He has a daughter. He has a daughter and the daughter gets lost.
Okay, so no, this sucks.
No, he has a daughter, his daughter gets lost. And then he's got a brother, his brother has a son.
This is like hearing someone's dream. You know, when they're like, I had the craziest dream last night. And they're like, okay, so I was in the woods. No, wait, I wasn't in the woods. I was at a public swimming pool. And then you're like, I don't care. This didn't happen in real life. Why am I still listening to this?
That's my news broadcast. Okay, so I had this dream where
so he lost his daughter,
he goes into
angry,
or his son, he goes into a crazy rage anyway, hell. And then his he is so horrible to his wife, his son dies and he casts out his daughter, and then he's so angry at his wife that she runs away, and then when he finds her again eventually,
is this Hermione Granger?
Yes, Hermione Granger, she has turned into a statue.
What?
She lives with this woman called Paulina, which is just, it's just Paulina, but they pronounce it different.
Or is, yeah, right, okay.
It's Paulini from Australian Idol.
Paulina.
She's a statue, and then he like says something beautiful to her, and she comes back to life. But the theory is that she was just having 16 years of hooking up with Paulina in their lesbian building.
We did, speaking of like funny Shakespeare names.
Yeah.
We did Love's Labour's Lost at drama school. Okay. Not a well-known Shakespeare.
It's an alright one.
It's very hit. Like, it's about four guys who want to fuck these chicks, but they've made a pact to focus on their studies. They won't have any sex, but then they all have the hots for these chicks. These four princesses like just happen to come into town while they've like, they've basically been like, alright boys, hands in, no sex. And then like the women arrive. Anyway, there's like there's a messenger. We've got all the casting for it, and I remember the director was like, and one of the characters was spelled MOTH, and you would say that as
moth.
Yeah, and so he's like, and of course the character Mert will be. And everyone was like, what? He's like, Mert is the messenger, and he just kept saying it like trying Mert. And making a real point of saying it correctly.
Mert, you have a beautiful. Mert.
You will be playing the character of Mert.
You smell like Mert.
Mert. Anyway, we really enjoyed that.
That's great.
Odd character name. Any gay storylines in that one? No. I played the clown because they knew I couldn't play the straight role, so I got played as the clown.
Were you funny?
You know, Shakespeare's clowns are never very...
They're not actually funny, eh?
Funny.
You know who is bloody funny? Olivia in Twelfth Night, who's in love with Viola. When she's dressed as a boy, which is that's a very gay scene.
Okay, let's talk about how gay Twelfth Night is.
Because everyone is. Because Antonio, definitely gay. He's in love with Sebastian, who's Viola's twin.
And then one of them dresses up as a woman and Olivia falls in love with... No.
Viola dresses up as a man.
But Olivia falls in love with Sebastian.
Yeah, and then
but she... finds out that it's actually Olivia, right?
Yeah.
So it gets a bit lesbian for a bit.
And there's a very hot... Like, the best scene in the whole play is, like, Olivia kind of, like, courting...
Yeah, her, and I reckon she could tell. I always watched it being like, I reckon she can tell.
Yeah.
There's a kind of feminine charm to this lad.
Yeah, and also because Viola's in love with Orsino, right? Who's like the most hetero, boring, dumb asshole in the world.
Yes.
Although.
Yes.
She's the man, starring Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about. So someone shared on Twitter recently this photo shoot of Justin Timberlake. They were like, "I know you can't be turned gay, but like this."
Saw that tweet,
and I remember you just waxed my open hand with two fingers, like you're knocking on the door to come in,
or like checking your pulse, but like in a sort of dabby manner. I saw that photograph. Is he alive?
So that photo shoot, he was like, this turned me gay. And I was like, I remember seeing that when it came out. And it definitely influenced me. And another thing was, I was working at a cinema when She's the Man was on. And you have to kind of... Tim?
There we go.
Can you hear me? Papa, can you hear me? You have to go, when you work in a cinema, you have to kind of like periodically come in and just check.
They always do that.
That no one's got feet on the seat or whatever.
I'm always like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Checking that no one's got their feet on the seat.
People put their feet on the seats.
They should be allowed to.
It's just going
to
happen. It's our right. I paid $12 to be in the seat. I'm going to put my bloody feet up.
Have you ever had someone put their feet... One time I had someone put their feet on my armrest and they were barefoot. And
oh my God.
Their barefoot touched my arm before I saw that it was there. And I leapt up. I was like, no.
Anyway, there was that tweet actually about recently. We're just like recapping Twitter.
Our favorite tweets.
But there's someone's barefoot on a plane.
Oh, yuck.
Yuckity yuck. It looks like an uncooked chicken that's been like left. So yuck.
Disgusting.
My feet look like chicken breasts. Sorry.
Your feet do, specifically?
Yeah, they're just white and pasty and sort of long and smooth. You know, like a sort of long chicken breast. Dude, I'm not the first person to have made that observation about my feet. I have looked at them often and been like, they're so long and thin. They sort of look like a scaled fish or something. Oh. They're fleshy.
I wish I had long feet. Like, my feet are the bottom. If I'm online shopping and go to the scroll down menu... Lots of shops like my size will be the smallest size they're talking about.
I can't get shoes. I cannot get shoes. Like anywhere online. When I was in Japan, I was like, do you have a size 13? And the woman looked at me and was like, what? I was like, a 13. And I thought maybe it was a language barrier. And she was like, 13. I was like, yeah. And she just laughed and was like, no, no, no. And she's like, we got to like a 9. And I was like, basically, I'm never
perfect for me. I should go live in Japan.
You should.
Okay, so anyway, I would go in and check the cinema every time.
Yes.
Channing Tatum was in it. This is sure. Amazing look of just like, he's just in like gray track pants, no underwear, no shirt. Ooh. The whole film.
Who does he play in that? He plays...
He plays Orsino, I guess. Duke Orsino.
Do they give them like, you know when they sometimes they give them like a twist on the name?
Oh yeah.
Like he's like, also.
I think his name, so in the play, he is the Duke. Orsino is his name. And yes. I think in the movie, maybe he's called Duke, which is a real porn name,
that's
isn't
bad.
It?
Yeah. And then obviously Malvolio is the classic gay character in that play.
Yes. We should probably wrap up. I want to tell you one last fact about how maybe Shakespeare's gay.
Yes.
In his will, he was married to Anne Hathaway from Devil Wears Prada.
Les Mis. She got the Oscar for Les Mis.
Yeah, but her most iconic film is Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah.
Most rewatchable, definitely.
She probably got like a Nickelodeon Kids Choice Award for that or something.
Yeah.
She got slimed.
And even in that, she's really like out-acted by Meryl Streep. Well, and she got slimed Emily Blunt.
And then was like, it came true.
It came true.
I'm going to do that if I get slimed.
It came true. So he left his wife, Shakespeare, he left his wife Anne Hathaway one thing in his will, and it was their second best bed.
Shit, play it, have more than one bed.
Yeah.
I've got one bed, and it's my best and my second best, you know, like, yeah. It's all my beds.
My second best bed is the top mattress taken off my best bed.
Yeah, and then my third best bed is like the couch.
Yeah.
Fourth, the floor.
The floor. Fifth, car.
Car. Sixth, the street. Seventh, hell.
Thank you so much to Big Pipe. This has been a beautiful episode, and
you've been here the whole journey.
Yeah.
Thanks for being a great internet service provider and allowing people to use you to listen to us. You're the middleman, or woman, or, you know, gender fluid, cut all the gender out of it. You're the tits. You're the... Oh,
the
God.
Tits?
Do you remember used to go, that's the tits?
Never.
Is that like sexist?
Yeah,
anyway,
I think
thanks,
so.
Big Pipe.
Thanks, Big Pipe.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.